Why are you eating?
Now, Ollie, just question. Is your audio coming from the thing? Is your audio coming from your microphone? Because you sound very quiet. Or is it just because I've got you turned down? I've got you turned down.
It's coming from the blue stable.
Yeah.
Looks like Thanos is on holiday.
That's where he goes after he's done the Infinity Gauntlet.
Because you look quite purple. I'm guessing the sun is setting outside. You haven't closed your
the bit where it goes Thanos curtains. Will return.
No, it's
just
having an apple on the beach. Yeah.
That whole concept really does fall apart quite quickly when you start to think about it, doesn't it? The whole thing. You've got a gauntlet that can do anything and it's like, oh, just more food.
Yeah, but anyway, there's a whole thing of why that isn't a thing.
Is there?
We can create more food, it's not going to solve the issue, is it?
Yeah. yeah, it is, yeah.
Have we started? Are we waiting for him to finish his apple?
I don't know.
I thought... I'm
going to take my bigger shirt off.
We technically have started. This is the sort of witty repartee that our listeners all
is that
crave
what that is?
Come for.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Was it witty? What's the word I'm looking for?
How about shut up?
I'm so happy this is recording.
Sorry, that was mean.
It was a bit.
That was really mean.
Yeah. That, Mason. Not going to lie.
I'll take it back.
I was quite surprised at how mean that was.
Yeah. I would slap you in a pub. Like,
wow, okay. Slap me in a pub.
I'll punch you. I punch you if we were in a pub right now.
This is not
I
the behaviour becoming...
I'm not that mean.
This is not the behaviour becoming of Jacuzzi Boy. Choke on his own apple.
I've only just realised his background is moving as well.
Yeah,
I thought it was still for a second, and now it's just started.
For the benefit.
Like, the waves are going, there's winds.
For the benefit of listeners, Ollie is, for some reason, purple and sitting on a beach in, I don't know, Barbados. Just a tropical beach. It's like Castaway, but he's wearing a jumper.
And eating an apple.
It's because my room is in a mess at the moment, and I don't really want to show it on camera. So, fuck it, it's a beach. I can go anywhere else. Though.
I've got my background is I've got a bunch of aliens and stuff, and then just some moisturiser just there, and my thermostat.
So I could go to San Fran,
Cisco.
Yes,
I mean we always assume. It's
I mean, you know what? You
tough to be a bug.
Entertain yourself without you.
I'm nearly done with the apple, by the way. So
your shoulder keeps disappearing, Ollie.
Have you got? You guys haven't seen Zoom host yet, have you? I really want you guys to see host. Really
nay. Anyway, shall we do a sync?
This thing reminded me of a bit in that. It's great. Anyway, shall we do a sync? Yeah, let's do that.
You need to download the background from when he sat in his little orchard in Endgame. 3, 2, 1. Better than before.
I mean,
Ollie, did you actually clap or did you just put your hands together?
No, I did that. That's just clap. I just clapped again. So now you've
got
two claps.
Slow motion for my end.
What we need to do in the future is when we're all rock stars, is all get like Omega Speedmasters, like what they had in the Apollo missions, and we always need to synchronize at the same time every day, and we'll go on dead on. Eight. Wait, hang on. That's not the time, is it?
I got a thing.
Oh, fuck it is.
Got
4 to 8.
I got a thing saying my internet connection is unstable, so that's probably I might get a little bit delayed every now and then. So.
Oh no.
Oh no.
What are we going to do?
What are we going to do,
Oliver? Why aren't you a superhero?
Hey, so for the benefit of the listeners, we should just mention that the BAFTAs are currently Jacuzzi Man.
Oh.
Oh, what happened there? Did it get delayed? Because you guys were frozen and you were suddenly bursting with laughter.
Well, I'll tell you what happened, Ollie. Alex tried to segue into a very funny story and you just completely ignored him or didn't hear him at all and wanted to talk about the baffles.
Mason, so it's never going to be as funny as that. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Look, I could wax lyrical now about how Ollie is a disappointing superhero called Jacuzzi Lad. Jacuzzi Lad, I've changed it again.
That's the even better, lad. To be fair. That's better. Yeah.
Okay, you guys come back now.
Because you put...
This is going well.
He was left alone at an evil. Still eating his apple. He was eating an apple, little boy, all alone, in an evil centre parks. And what happened? The poor little boy, chasing baddies, fell into a jacuzzi, was boiled with his apple. He's just frozen, isn't he? We've lost him.
No, I'm here. I'm still here.
That's what he did. He was like, I'm boiling to death.
He was in the most traumatic apple bobbing accident that's ever happened.
He can't go to Halloween parties. They just upset him now.
He gets PTSD. Yeah, it's
that thing about the apple bottom jeans, the boots with the foot, it upset him. He couldn't listen to it. Cause it reminded him. It was only when he went through puberty, which we're still waiting on, to be fair. But he went through puberty and suddenly developed water jets. We won't tell you where.
I feel sick.
This is quality content.
It's so hard because Ollie doesn't move for ages.
Apart from his phone going off. Oh my
phone.
God.
It's my phone.
35 episodes of this.
E.T. It's E.T.
Is this 35?
This is number 35.
It is number 35, isn't it? I tell you what, Ollie. You do your little bit about the BAFTAs, seeing as you've derailed my... My well curated.
I didn't mean to.
You told
me to
do.
And
let's remember that as well.
All right.
Go on. Tell us about the BAFTAs, and I'll order some food.
All right. apple still.
I can't see the video, but I can hear the apple.
Yeah.
Currently, as we are recording, the EE BAFTAs are going on.
The E BAFTAs are
currently happening.
Well, should we say we can do a second night of two?
The second night of two, yeah. Daniel Kaluuya has just won the EE's. Right, hold on. Wins his first BAFTA. Oh no, he's just won the BAFTA for best supporting actor. Okay, cool. I could say he won something else. I read it wrong, and then it was right.
This is amazing journalism.
Yeah.
This is like Chris Kamara.
Yeah.
Well, we know that someone's won a BAFTA, but who, Chris Kamara?
I don't know, Jeff. I think I need to...
Ollie, you really are our Chris Kamara.
I think I need to dip out and then come back, see if that works, because I'm getting like major delays.
Yeah, we're going to lose the video, aren't we?
Ollie, you're hosting this, so if you leave, what's going to happen?
Oh, yeah, if you leave. Mason, we need to stay recording just so that we're synced. Yeah, everybody stay recording, everyone, and we'll get the video back.
I'm
going to
keep recording the audio. Recording, Ollie. Hold on, I'm just...
Yeah, keep the audio, because it's synced.
Okay.
I'm doing this for Ollie, it's not for you.
I'm keeping the audio. I'm keeping the audio, don't worry.
We know.
Oh, where's the sign? He's going to be
I'm having a meltdown.
Okay. What's happening? Right. What's happening? The benefit
he's
of
making
Alex,
one of us a host, I think.
Is he?
Doubt.
He's stopped.
I don't know. If it's
he's stopped.
Quiet.
Does that mean he's leaving? This has gotten off to a flying start.
Oh, my God.
I'm actually crying. Look how
red I am. My eyes are stinging.
Okay. I don't even know if I'm... the levels look great, but the waveform looks... quiet on that. I don't know what's going on there.
Oh my God.
I hope it's fine.
We're still somehow on Zoom, but Ollie is frozen.
Join a Zoom call.
Ollie's still there.
He's still eating his apple, I think.
Still eating his apple.
Still purple.
Do I order my food? What do I do?
You might as well, mate. I mean,
I was gonna order some chicken.
If your food comes while we're still recording, it's not gonna be the only...
Well, it's not gonna be the first time, is it?
Okay. The first time or... It can't derail this podcast more than what's just happened.
No, I just...
I'm back.
For the benefit of the...
Oh, shit.
Shit, he's back. Fucking hell. It's not recording anymore. I think it stopped recording with Ollie. You might have to click record again.
Yeah, hold on. I'm waiting for it to convert and then I can carry on recording again. I'm still recording in the audio, so the audio
isn't. This is going to be a fucker to edit. Yeah, as long as we keep recording the audio, we can stay synchronized.
I'm now even more purple.
I love it when that happens because I like listening to what you're doing in the background.
Yeah, because the sun's going down, Ollie. You need to close your curtains and put a light on.
All right, all right.
I like how I figured out how to light this.
Yeah, all right. Hold on.
I wish the video was recording this right happening. Now.
I don't know what's happening anymore.
For the benefit of the listener, the Aurora Borealis has just swallowed Oliver. I can still see his snowball among the trees. Oh shit, and then he just emerged from the Aurora.
I think this might be the podcast that would just... If we ever had any continuous listeners, this might just turn them off. And I'm sorry, but...
Look, there are people, I'm not going to say the numbers, there are people who listen to every episode, and I don't know why. I don't know why you've come back. I'm thrilled, I'm happy about it.
So am I.
I'm really happy that you decide to listen to this.
I think the
recording. To this shit.
This shit. Three British white guys trying to figure out how to podcast.
Oh, he's just disappearing and emerging from Aurora Borealis.
I might just start filming this on my phone because it's going to be terrible, but I'm just... Oh.
He's there just sort of... Has he got another set of headphones? Oh, yeah, you can't hear me, can you? No.
I can hear you. Hold on, let me just get...
No, this. Not... I'm talking about Mason's camera.
Oh, right, okay. Hold on.
I look like my dad right now. Look at that.
You're somehow darker, Ollie.
Yeah, hold on. I'm fixing that.
Do you have it?
Okay. In three.
Hang on, don't you own a ring light?
Yeah, we bought a ring light last podcast. Oh, God. What's happening?
That's not a ring light. That's horror. Yeah. Mason, do you know how much we've recorded so far of this podcast?
Is it like 15 minutes or something?
We're
like
on 17 minutes.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And we haven't talked about anything, really.
This is quality content.
I mean...
What I was trying to do was explain the origin story of... Basically, I woke up one morning annoyed that Ollie isn't the superhero because he talks the talk, but he doesn't walk the walk. And I decided that he was Jacuzzi Boy, the Jacuzzi Lad. And it started off Jacuzzi Man, which I think is what the first issue should be called. And then the second issue should be called Jacuzzi Boy. Yes. And then it becomes Jacuzzi Lad. You know, it's like Radio Man in The Simpsons who became Radioactive Man. It's sort of like it shows an evolution of a little boy who fell into a jacuzzi and was boiled alive with his... with his apples. And can't go near apple bobbing.
I'm sorry, he's still eating the apple.
Oh, it looks like he's had a bite taken out of him. Oh,
just,
my eyes.
I'm just going
honest
with it.
Honest to God, I'm stinging. Alright, anyway. So Daniel Kaluuya has won an award.
Oh my God.
Oh, there we go.
Is everything okay? You're in now, Ollie. Have you finished the apple?
I finished the apple, the animated background.
I'm starting the bottle of water, though.
Yeah, Ollie, I think you should probably... Ollie, I would say probably take away the animated background, because that's probably not helping your connection.
Oh, my eyes are stinging. I think you've brought on hay fever, Ollie.
Oh, he has got his ring light there. That's what took a chunk out of him, yeah.
That's what took a chunk out of me, yeah.
I mean,
that's what took a tongue out of him.
That's what took a tongue out of him. Anyway, hopefully that.
Believe it or not, listeners, we are all over the age of 25.
Yeah.
Not by as much as people seem to think, but
no.
You know, can't believe my own dad was like, "You don't have to worry because you're not under 30." I was like, "I'm 28, you piece of shit." Have I not told you about that?
No.
I always say so. Talking about that, be serious for a second. The side effects that are being reported in very small amount of cases for the AstraZeneca vaccine.
Yeah.
for the blood clots, which is, and I mean it's very small because it's like 200 million people have had it, and it's like under 100 have had this sort of, so it's such a small percentage. And the, in Britain, they're offering under, it's only in under 30s as well. In Britain, they're offering under 30s a different vaccine if they've been said to have it. And I said, well, I've already had part one of the AstraZeneca one, so presumably I can't have another, I'll just have to have the other half. And he went, yeah, but you don't need to worry about that because it's only for under 30s. My own father said that to me. I was like, I'm 28, you piece of shit. You old git. I didn't. At the time I went, I'm 28. He went, oh, yeah. And then he realised that he's got loads of people, loads of other people who've had this, the vaccine the same time as me, who are younger than me. And then suddenly he was worried. I was like, I'll just disappear, shall I? Anyway, talk about EE, the EE BAFTAs, you bizarre human.
So, Daniel. Okay, so let's get the update.
I'm going to look for my antihistamines while you're talking.
Hold on, let's just...
Cutting edge.
I heard Soul got Best Animated Film and Nomadland got Best Cinematography. Is that correct, Chris Kamara?
I don't know, Jeff.
Yes, it is. And also, Yoo Jung-yeon from Minari has won Best Supporting Actress. Another Round has won Film in the Not English Language. Yay! His House just won... outstanding British debut.
I heard him cheer, presumably by British writer and director.
Oh, did it? I still need to see that.
I really like it. Have you seen it?
What?
Not yet.
It's called His House. It's on Netflix. It's a horror film.
So. Oh, okay. No, I look exactly like my dad.
Oh, and you guys are frozen.
No, you're frozen.
No, you're frozen.
No, to me.
I want to see what the video, considering Ollie is recording. Considering Ollie is recording, the video must be a nightmare.
Seeing as I updated my broadband a couple of months ago, and it's significantly faster than it used to be. I know it's not my problem.
Let's do a speed test. Hang on, let me do my speed. I'm going to speed test.
Maybe
so
it's
I'm,
the recording.
Where am I putting
things up? If I stop recording,
I think it's
your internet, Ollie.
Yeah, I'm going to say it's yours because mine is currently clocking 103 megabits per second.
Oh wow. See what mine's doing.
It should be about 100. That's what I pay for, and I'm alone in this house. So
mine's
eight megabits upload.
Mine's doing 70 megabits per second with 17 for upload.
But there's two of you in. Oh, your upload's better than mine.
Yeah.
My upload is 8.
And Matt's on his laptop doing uni work, so
I was going to say, so that's
it's
fair
pretty
enough
good.
There's two
pretty
of you
good.
I have got the Xbox whirring away in the background downloading stuff as well, so
Ollie's disappeared again. This is going so well.
This is brilliant. Let's keep saying Oliver George is the host now, like that's something new. You know,
is
what
okay?
we're keeping this Mason.
I think
we should
because if anything we're going to learn from this. Well, hopefully Ollie will.
Well, one of us. I'm sat in such a way that Titanfall just says tit.
Tit and fall. Ollie, are you with us? Come in.
Ollie, can you hear me? Ollie, can you see me through the woods? No. Look at that freeze. Look at how happy he is, though, in that freeze. I'm going to print screen that. Yeah, let's put that on paint and save that for later.
Alex is the host now. Okay, well...
Am I? Well, how do I record, Mason? Oh, I should tell you, I'm about to record, okay?
So okay.
You know, okay, still recording. Just
for you are recording.
It's, recording. It'd be interesting to see if I suddenly start slowing down. Do we have to apologise to him?
Probably not.
Where's this saving to, though? I've got bare space on my
Yeah, it's going to save... It's going to save automatically, I think.
I cleared a load of space last night when we were sat here.
Hello.
Oh, God, he's back. Hi, Ollie.
He's made good his return.
Hi, guys.
Hello,
Oliver.
Yeah, not
too bad. We're almost 25 minutes in and...
We ain't done shit.
We haven't done anything.
I've tried to start a comedic bit 3 times and failed every occasion, so I'm not doing it anymore.
I think we should just crack on.
What have we got? I ain't got anything planned. I've tried. Go on.
Well, we could always do a 4-hour cut of this and like see what happens. Or we could.
Oh shit! I forgot we've got to talk about that.
God.
Oh, there's markings on my roof. That's not worth it.
Okay, let's see if I can get the video back here. Right. We should be better. I've restarted my internet.
We should be better, Ollie. Yeah, we should be better. Evidently, we're not.
I apologise.
Right, right. For the benefit of the listeners, this is where Alex is going to put in a bat. Better. Better, 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 better. Hey, Ollie.
Hey, Alex.
Oh, should I start this with Ollie? I feel like this is a bad idea to start it with Ollie.
Go. I've got nothing really prepared, so. Ollie will. Look, he wants to. Come on. Look at him.
Ollie, we all, for some reason, I was the first one again.
You were.
Yeah, I don't know how.
That happens with the Avengers, though. Doesn't that always happen with the Avengers? Or like Star Wars as well. Like, I won't plan to see something, but then my dad will be like, we're booked in to see it. And I'll be like, okay, cool.
Yeah. The reason is, it's because I'm waiting for the premium viewing experience of the film. So with Avengers, I wanted to see it in a particular cinema with a particular kind of audience and a particular type of thing. So that's why we did that. With Justice League, I wanted to wait for the weekend so I can eat it with a pizza so I can enjoy that with the full home.
Yeah. Ollie,
I watched it at the weekend.
No, you watched it the day before me.
Ollie, I'm just going to say this now. Never ever say premium viewing experience ever again.
Yeah, I wanted to like vomit and sort of punch at the same time.
That was
punch of it.
Horrible.
Punch mitt.
Okay.
The okay. right kind okay. of people, he said as well. The right kind of people, which is a bit UKIP.
Not like that. Like, I mean, like.
Turn your phone fucking off. Mobile.
Turn your
muting,
phone off,
muting.
Please.
Oh shit! It says the meeting will end in 10 minutes. Upgrade to room 40.
Of course it will. Of course it will. Of course it will. Oh, we're cursed. This is a cursed podcast.
Do we need to start again with Ollie as the host? So that it will be extended, because if he's not going to wrap up talking about the Justice League Snyder Cut in 10 minutes, is he?
That's not real.
Shall we? Right. Shall we hang up and then you start a new one?
Shall we do that? Yeah, that's not a bad idea. Well, how do we do that?
Don't stop
unless
recording.
It's like a new...
Don't.
I'm not going to stop recording. Let's just end this meeting and then
let's leave the audio on. We're now, as Mason quite rightly puts that, 27 minutes in.
Yeah.
I haven't ordered my food yet. Listener, I don't know why you're still here. I don't know. There's not many of you. Look, I see how many of you there are every day, every time we upload. I see how many of you fall away. Look, if we end up with only 3 downloads at the end of every one, we will stop. It's fine because we can just. Well, we won't stop. We'll just carry on just for us. But, like, you don't have to... Look, it won't hurt our feelings if you stop. I'm waiting for Ollie to start the meeting again.
Okay, here we go.
Okay.
Okay?
I think so. It says 40 minutes at the top.
There you go. That's good.
Right, I'm just going
to... If I remember correctly, last time we did this, even though it counted down, it just continued.
Yeah, it
anyway,
extended so... when it heard the ice cream van.
Yeah.
I just had a one-on-one with the listeners in the gap while I was waiting.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah, I just told them that we will keep making this because we enjoy this. Even if it's only us three that listen, we will keep making it. There's no obligation for them to stick around.
For us. If me and you, we listen
well,
to
we
it.
We listen to it, yeah. Two of us listen to it.
I skim it.
He skipped his own podcast. Zack Snyder's Justice League.
It's finally here.
Oliver George. It took them 12 years to make.
Well, 5, well, 4 years actually, but like, there you go. Anyway.
No, the film itself is 12 years long.
Yeah.
12 years to watch.
That's what it felt like.
Right. Ollie, well, I think I'm give gonna us be, your review.
I feel like I'm going to be
order some fucking chicken.
I feel like I'm going to be the outlier here. I think I enjoyed it more than you guys. I believe.
How can you? First of all, how can you make assumptions despite knowing what we both think of it anyway?
Well, despite knowing what you think already.
Oh, are we doing what we think now? Because I think you might recall that me and Mason actually enjoyed it more than we thought we would, but it was 2 hours longer than necessary.
All right, okay,
look at that. I managed to review it in 30 seconds. Look at that.
Right,
we enjoyed
TV.
It more than we thought it would.
TV, let's move on.
Hold up. Before you get to the... all that bull crap, let's get to the nitty-gritty.
Right, you give us your review, and then we'll get back to ours. They've had a spoiler about what we think about it.
All right. Okay, cool.
You turn into a proper sort of Cockney wide boy when you're not happy. You're like,
all right.
We apologise to any listeners within the sound of the bow bells.
Hell.
That was lit.
Fuck you, I know. Alright, it's not like my choice. It is my choice, but like I could have made other choices. I could have made other choices.
There's the episode title. Sometimes I just know when you say it in the sometimes I have to skim through it again for like the second time. Not the first time, Ollie. Sometimes I skim through it and go, did Ollie say anything weird or did I say anything daft that I could put in there? Sometimes it's Mason. Very rare. It's usually me or Ollie. Usually Ollie, to be honest. But that sometimes I'm like, there we go. That's where the magic happens.
It's a cracker.
Now. Please tell us about Justice League so I can order some food.
Okay, so as our listeners will know, in 2017, a movie called The Justice League came out, and it was atrocious. It was a mangled sort of hodgepodge of two different visions sort of collided together into basically what I can confirm is probably like a pea soup that no one particularly enjoyed. It was bland and deficient.
This is a bit weird, but okay. Pea soup,
yeah. Granny's peach tea.
That was unnecessary.
Anyway,
okay. We'll get back to it. We're going to talk about the rest of the Snyderverse later on.
Due to various circumstances, Zack Snyder, the original director of the Justice League, was not unable to complete his version.
Was unable to complete his Yeah. He stepped version. Away from the project.
Yeah.
And in that gap, Warner Brothers brought in Joss Whedon and essentially mangled the whole thing, just stuck it in a blender and did a whole entire new thing, didn't they?
Basically asked him to try and make do what Avengers, you did with the Avengers. With what's been shot, do some reshoots, put in some jokes.
They reshot
brighten the whole thing.
Yeah, they reshot all of Henry Cavill's scenes, but when Henry Cavill was going for the reshoots, he was also on production of Mission Impossible Fallout. And by the production of that, he was required to keep his mustache on, so the production on Justice League had to work around that, and hence Mustache Gate happened, and we all saw the results of that. Anyway,
the nightmare fuel.
Yeah. Anyway, since then, there was a whole campaign in order to bring forth what the original intent for just the film was.
Could you you probably know more about it than we do, but could you, because I know that there's big charity drives happened as part of it, wasn't there? There's sort of a big
So
you don't know, and I've just assumed.
So yeah, I do.
I know that they did sort of like telethons and stuff, didn't they, to raise money.
They raised,
show Warner Brothers they wanted it, but then they gave the money to sort of, I think it was, I think one of them was a suicide.
It was suicide aware
charity.
Yeah, it was a suicide awareness charity. Obviously, given the circumstances of what happened to Zack Snyder's family. The campaign started in like 2018 after the cut had been released, and there was become more of a thing when the people behind the campaign started buying up billboards and creating all these different events. There's a very negative side to it, which is full of internet trolling and a lot of bullying,
harassment, and that
a lot of harassment. Mm. So, you know, like everything, there's two sides to a coin, you know, and there's still quite a lot of that going on today now with hashtag restore the Snyderverse and people attacking critics that aren't necessarily all confirming this is
the next people who aren't thinking it's the best thing in the world.
Mm.
Which it isn't, for the record.
It's not the best thing. No.
No.
No. No. But I think it's one of the most significant films in history for a number of reasons. Because you can use this as a tapestry and a learning curve of how modern Hollywood is and works, and like how two different directors and how editing a scene can drastically alter the purpose of it, if you get what I mean. I think you can compare and contrast. I think you could use this in film school.
I think you can. I don't know why you said tapestry in there. That's thrown
me
a bit. Yeah. But the one that I was showing is the re-editing of the weird Aquaman scene where he rescues the guy and then throws him on the table.
Yeah.
And then takes the bottle of whiskey. The two different versions of that tell a very different story. Like the one from Justice League, the most recent one, is about him being clearly being a bit a lost soul.
Yeah, choices of music.
Probably 17th slow-mo shot in the film, I think, at that point.
Yeah, but you could also use the production stories. I hope there's a documentary that comes out eventually about the whole thing. I don't know whether Warner Bros. Will probably allow it. I think it maybe have to be an independent.
No, that's the problem.
Yeah, they probably want...
That's the kind of... I want one of that, and I want one of Fantastic as well. We're never going to get it.
No.
You want to know... You're like, I'd watch it. It'd be a better film in Fantastic's case. Just watching like, how did this happen?
No, it'd be interesting to see how it happened. But obviously there's allegations going along with, there was a Variety article with Ray Fisher talking about all the things that he went through during the reshoot stage and how he was treated subsequently by Warner Brothers after he was making complaints and whatnot. And how his role was significantly reduced in the original cut.
Mm.
He's barely really in it in the original one, is he?
He's barely a character in the original cut. In this cut, he's pretty much the main character aside from
arguably the main character.
Yeah, and he was one of the stronger elements of the film. Going from a character that was just kind of bland to having pretty much the heart of the film, really. A couple of scenes that they set up, it was kind of like a cat saving a tree sort of moment, you know, in terms of like, you know, oh, this is why he's a good guy and whatnot, and it was a bit forced in that way. I think you can handle other ways of doing that, but overall, like, his relationship with his father and just the factor of him actually mattering to the plot and the progression of the story and the themes of the film.
Well, as you said about him being the main character, it's sort of his realisation of, which I would argue is probably the best part of the film in terms of writing, is the bit where he's... Is his dad that says we can fix you, and then his thing of his realization of, but I'm not broken. That sort of that genuinely, even, and I don't even think I put it in my long review, but that moment I went, that there is the apex of storytelling in this. That is the moment I was like, someone has written something. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because it's not just a Justice League film. It's also really
Spoilers, by the way.
Oh yeah.
You know what? I'll put a spoiler warning earlier on.
Yeah. But it is from all of that. There's a lot of cyborg in this version of the film, and it's also an origin story film for him. And then I guess the plan was for when this was originally going to be out for him to have his own thing, but his origin is really embedded into this film, so they could just hit the ground running. When he has his own film.
Yeah,
so
originally...
That was quite good.
Yeah, the plans for him originally were he was going to appear as a secondary lead in the Flash movie. And then Warner Brothers, after that, reduced his role to a two-week cameo and a two-week shoot so they can cut his salary significantly. And then that led to Ray Fisher just quitting the film.
Horrendous. The whole thing is horrendous. Mm, yeah. And I've from the very beginning, more or less, when we've been talking about it, I've said... And not to be like, I was right, but like the way that Warner Brothers in the very beginning hid behind the tragedy of what happened in Zack Snyder's family to have their way with it. I don't think there's been a reckoning on that yet, because that's bad enough.
Oh, yeah.
And then all the behind-the-scenes stuff with Joss Whedon being apparently just the worst.
There was stories.
I can't remember specific bits, but I was reading about what he was saying to Gal Gadot. Or is it Gal Gadot? Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, I think it's a very... Yeah, very light T. You pronounce the T, but not like.
Because I always thought it was Godot, but she was getting all sorts of shit from him. Ray Fisher, go and read it because the stuff that he's and then the way that the way that Warner Bros were real chicken shit about it is there's so much studio shit going on.
There was so much rewrite. There was a lot of rewrite.
Quite happy for the Snyder Cut in just for the fact that Ray Fisher gets to have his moment.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Shall I tell you what I think about it?
Yeah, go for it.
Here we go.
So
here we go.
It's 2 hours longer than it needs to be. Ollie's said a few times that he thinks there's a perfect quote 3 hour cut in there. I would say that there's probably a two and a half hour film in there that I would really enjoy.
Yeah.
And I did. You know what? For being facetious aside, a lot of it I enjoyed despite the rest of it. I think there were too many slow-mo shots, and there is too many slow... There's just 27 minutes or something like that?
It's almost half an hour.
It equated to 24 minutes, I believe.
24 minutes of slow-mo. Oh,
yeah.
But there's loads of weird... It's indulgent. The bits where Snyder's being indulgent, I hated it.
Yeah.
The bits where it was... I think that probably covers it, actually. They're the bits I hated. I actually... there's bits that I found I really disliked. Like we said, there's the bit where she's in London at the beginning, and for some reason, London looks like Chernobyl. There's nothing to it. It's like a black and white. It's like she's on a projection, and it's black and white in the background. That's how
it's just not a sunny day in London. I expected it to be worse when you guys were saying Zach, what did London do to you?
Well, it's only because he's in Paris in like a couple of scenes later, and Paris is all like, oh, Paris, it's so well lit and everything. I was like, what did London do to you, Zach?
Yeah,
I think it was because in contrast, the scene was they were going to that shot of Superman.
The fact that she was stood. What?
She stood on the
Old Bailey, and the Old Bailey's like bright gold, and she's bright gold, and it just, and I'm colourblind, so I accept that I cannot give good comments on colour, but just with that colourful, you know, beautiful woman stood on a massive gold statue, and in the background it's just like someone's clicked the monochrome filter on Photoshop, It was just, but it wasn't that, you know, it didn't derail the film for me. The bit that I liked is the bit where the girl was like, can I be like you one day? And I was like, wow, this is quite straightforward, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then she was running very fast as well, like The Flash. But anyway.
Yeah, that confused me. I didn't know she had super speed.
There's so much in it that I didn't like, but it didn't ruin the film for me. If it had been shorter, I probably would be sat here going, you know what, that was quite decent, I enjoyed it. It's the fact that the last hour of it, to me, it probably wasn't even the full hour, but it felt like the last hour of it, to me, felt unnecessary. Like, it was all just there. I was like, why is this here?
The epilogue was 19 minutes, and it was 19 minutes of...
Is it only 19 minutes? Honest to God, when I say the last hour, I'm only referring to that.
Yeah.
19, was that all it was?
I believe it was like 20 minutes long, I think,
It did last an age.
It did last an age.
It was from that, basically from Lex Luthor to...
Oh, that was shit as well.
That didn't need to be there.
Yeah,
from Martian Manhunter in the weird sort of lake bit.
Yeah, apparently...
That was clearly filmed afterwards as well. Like Mason said, he doesn't look anything like he does in the film.
It was originally, I'll tell you a fact about that. It was originally shot to be intended to be Green Lantern, the John Stewart Green Lantern. So that's why Ben Affleck had a bit of a green.
When you say the John Stewart, is that the name of the character?
Name of John Stewart.
I thought I'd missed that John Stewart, American comedian and movie director, was making a Green Lantern there. Because I was going, that is a bold choice, I've got to say.
No, there's a Green Lantern named John Stewart. He's the black one.
Okay. So presumably one that everybody on the internet is just fine about and doesn't make a fuss about for no reason.
No, because he's probably everyone's favourite version of Green Lantern over Hal Jordan.
Oh, right, they genuinely do. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. Yeah, no,
I thought it'd be like when they had a black Captain America and people were like, what is this?
John Stewart, he was the one in the animated series, and
okay, I withdraw my cynicism about the internet for a few minutes. It'll be back.
Yeah, no, he's a well-established character. He's more liked than Hal Jordan. It was originally meant to be Green Lantern, but the Warner Brothers were like, no, we don't want to use, we don't want Zack Snyder's interpretation of Green Lantern to be the overall thing, so they put in Martian Manhunter instead and added the Martian Manhunter elements anyway, because he had always intended that general from Man of Steel to be Martian Manhunter later down the line, so something like that they added in.
That's the general, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the general, yeah, from Man of Steel.
That's only just occurred to me. I didn't even think about that when we watched Man of Steel the other day.
Yeah, and he's in.
So he was man.
He was in Batman versus Superman as well. He was. He's in Washington. Both. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Anyway. Yeah. You know what? When he in that weird scene where he's Martha, which incidentally I liked as a scene, but then when it turned out to be
that cut it for me.
But when it was him, I did recognize him. I was like, I do know him from something. That's it. Yeah. Okay, right, I get you.
That's something that didn't really add up for me, because Man of Steel and Batman vs. Superman both had, like, political and military sort of involvement.
Yeah.
And this literally had none of that.
That's true. It doesn't, does it?
That's what... Even though it's more coherent with those two than the Whedon cut, this one still felt separate. A little bit.
It felt a bit weird. It didn't have the include. It's like if the Avengers didn't have S.H.I.E.L.D. in it. It's sort of like that weird sort of lack of. Yeah.
I mean, the film has loads in there, so you couldn't really just add it in, because what would be maybe 6 hours long, and no one wants that.
One thing I thought.
But yeah, that's one thing I thought about when I was watching it.
Another thing I thought about was how, in the flashback, the sort of Middle Earth. Scene where they're trying to do the backstory of humans. If you look at the humans, the Atlanteans and the Amazons, the humans and the Atlanteans have advanced greatly in 4,000 years, but the Amazons have pretty much stayed the same, which is
exactly the same.
Yeah,
there is I could be quite sci-fi about that and say that has been done before and it does make sense. As in, if you completely cut yourself off as a society, you might stagnate. You could actually make quite a good in the Stargate series. The bad guys, the Gua'uld, there you go, who are like the Egyptian gods with the pyramids and everything. They stole their technology from someone else, and their technology has been the same for about 5,000 years. And that's why when the humans turn up, and we, like obviously in the last 100 years, our technology's gone so much, we end up having the upper hand so much because. They've not changed at all, and we're like, oh, we can use that to do this. We can turn this into an aircraft carrier, blah blah blah, blah. And that, like, with the Amazons, because they cut themselves off. That is the story, isn't it? They've cut themselves off from the world.
Yeah, yeah, their daughters are
intentionally. So you could argue with that. I mean, quite why Atlantis isn't the same way. I don't know.
Like, yeah, it's because Atlantis is
having one's cake and eating it.
Yeah, because in Atlantis and Aquaman, they're all like in proper sci-fi armor and things like that. And like, yeah, so it's. Interesting. There's also a massive contradiction with Aquaman, because Mira's got a British accent for some reason, and they talk and they have to have air bubbles to talk.
Glad that you found that weird, because I found that very weird.
It's stupid.
Me and Mason did text reviews for friends, like among us, and Ollie we spoke with. But it was nice when you can draw the parallels between all the reviews, where we all went, what was that? Why is Amber Heard talking like this now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what that choice was.
Yeah, I don't know what that was.
Yeah, it was an odd choice.
Yeah, that's one of those things where you go, someone made this choice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a conscious choice, because obviously the American dialect, the dialogue of her having an American accent is there, and it's clearly dubbed as well, but it's odd as well. Yeah, the one thing with Mira that I did like, though, is when they were sharing how her powers could actually pull blood out of her.
Yeah, that was cool. That was really cool.
I was like,
where she pulled out his blood, didn't she?
I was like,
but before she did,
that's really dark.
But she was being choked and like slammed against a column, and before she did that, she had to make a big air bubble to like just say, "Oh, please don't," and then she did it. So that I don't know. That was a lot of effort.
The air bubbles are an odd thing. I remember James Wan tweeting when Justice League came out, he says, don't worry, there won't be air bubbles in Aquaman.
There are in Aquaman, but they do it better. There's a bit where they're in the ship, isn't there? And
that old
ship. And the,
Yeah.
God, I love, I'd forgotten Willem Dafoe was in it. And then when he turned up, I was like, hey!
And he had long hair. That was.
I'm here to teach you again, Arthur.
I didn't know how to process that. But
I love him.
Should I give my two cents on this?
You can. Yeah, I've said everything.
This cinematic afternoon, as it turned out, because I was the last one to watch this. Yeah. Alex, was
I watched
the first.
It. I started it on a Friday night.
Yeah,
but I started it too late, and it got to about midnight, and I said, I'm going to bed. I'm not watching any more of this.
And I really wanted to rewatch Man of Steel and BVS before.
Yes. Yeah.
So part of my rewatch of Man of Steel, Alex and I have made a reaction video to that.
Yes.
That should be coming soon to our YouTube channel. That was a bit of fun.
Yes.
And I still stand by that.
It was. You know what? It was... Because I didn't love it by any stretch of the imagination. No. But by the end of it, I was going, this is not as bad as I remember. The weird thing is, all the things that I had problems with it, I said it to my brother who just likes shit... Well, doesn't just like shit films, but isn't as... His taste is a bit more open than mine is.
Mm.
And I said, oh, I rewatched Man of Steel the other day. And he went, I don't like the fight scenes. They just go on too long. I was like, yeah, they do, don't they? But my dad said the same as well. It's very rare that we're all on the same page about something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, like, they love fight scenes, but my dad was like, I just couldn't tell what was going on. And that's what we said in our video, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We were like, actually, it's only really the fight scenes that I dislike. I actually like most. And dad
they
Ken
do.
Being a weird prick.
Yeah.
Sorry, you were saying about... I shouldn't distract with Man of Steel.
Basically, I still liked that. I think that was a good start. And then they should have really followed it up with a sequel to Man of Steel where Superman is trying to regain the trust of the world.
What I said in the video
was
I like the idea of that if you make it, you don't have to make it completely goofy, although I would love a goofy Superman film.
Yeah.
But I said, Ollie, in the video, I reckon it should have been a montage of him fixing Metropolis.
Yeah.
Like, trying to rebuild the trust with the public by, this, like, Superman rebuilds Child's Hospital.
Yeah.
And it's like, da-da-da-da-da. Well, not with that music. But, like, it still can be dark, but it's like, he's like, is he the saviour? Question mark? You know, sort of like the Godzilla bit at the end of Godzilla 2014, where it's like, saviour? Question mark?
Exactly.
Rather than going straight. Like, and then you could have an accident happen. Sorry, go on.
Yeah, it's interesting because there's an 18-month gap between Man of Steel and Batman vs Superman, where he has become this sort of savior figure, and we don't.
Yeah,
see,
I don't like that bit.
I would have preferred to have seen the years where he was that. If you get what I mean, like how he got that reputation.
My
issues with this Snyderverse. I'm using quotation marks here, air quotes. Is really with Batman versus Superman because it's just it's a mess. It's a miserable mess.
It's a total
nightmare.
It's a disaster of a film.
Nothing makes sense. Like so much slow mo and even the extended
the Martha
cut,
thing.
Even the extended cut.
The ultimate cut.
The ultimate cut. You know, it's still.
I know
mess
the much maligned Martha sense, thing. So. Like every joke has been made about the Martha thing. However, that is something that wouldn't... If the script had been read more than twice, someone would have gone, that's a bit stupid, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Have we got anything to put in the way of the Martha thing?
It's a bit of a reach, to say the least.
Like, even if, like, Martha turned up and she's saying... And, like, Amy Adams is like, Martha, no! And he's going, wait, what did you just... What? And they just, instead of going, save Martha! Rather than save my mum.
Yeah.
Even if it just said, save my mum... And then it'd be like that moment of, fuck, he's got a mother. This man has a mother.
Yeah,
you know?
That would.
And then afterwards, going,
her
name's
well.
Martha. Going, whoa, that's a weird thing, Clark, because my mother was called Martha. Wow, that would be really weird to base an entire franchise twist on, wouldn't it? Yeah. But good job that you said mother, and it humanized me for a second. Yes. Anyway, Lex.
That's a whole crazy bag of.
Let's not
get into that. But and then obviously the Whedon cut came out, and I wasn't a fan of that at all. But I didn't really care that this Snyder cut came out. But at the same time, I would have liked to know what his just a more consistent version of the Justice League film that he shot. Would have looked like so.
Just one that feels like it's in the same film series. Like,
yeah, yeah, exactly.
It doesn't feel like it's just attempting to do Avengers.
And I do hope this just puts an end to it. I don't need him to do any more. You know, I think it's been too long.
There's no need.
You know, it's not really gaining that much traction. So just leave it. Because I'd say with
if
this,
you cut out that 19 minutes at the end, it would have been a satisfying, completely.
Go on.
Yes, cut the 19 minutes out at the end, but also, I swear, the first 2 hours is just all first act,
way
which
too long.
Keeps repeating way itself about the boxes, about we need to tell Wonder Woman, Wonder Woman needs to tell Bruce,
the singing, get rid of the singing in the Aquaman bit.
There's so much singing, so much slow mo.
I don't.
Where
need two
I agree with Alex, there's a good. There's a good two hour and a half film.
I do like the bit where he goes to find Aquaman and he's going to find this outsider and it's a room full of Nordic looking people who all look like they're from the same family and Jason Momoa. It's like he's going, which one of these people is the odd one out?
Which one of these is
obviously
the godlike
thing? Sure. It's like this huge muscly guy. Not that they aren't muscly, like there's some hench guys there, but it's just like they're all sort of blonde, blue-eyed. They're from like Nordic, far north. I think is it Greenland it's supposed to be in?
Somewhere
was
like
it Iceland?
Yeah.
Somewhere like that.
I don't think they actually
some
said,
like whaling but... community. Yeah, it looks like it's on like either Greenland or Iceland, and then it's like Jason Momoa who doesn't.
Yeah.
I think from the you could trim down the first 2 hours into an hour, maybe an hour and a half, but an hour. Get rid of that ending. Get rid, not be as indulgent with the slow-mo, and actually you've got a really tight, really decent film in there. And actually, with fast forward, I'd say, absolutely, you already have that. But it's like the redux of. Apocalypse Now, where you watch that and you go, I wanted more Apocalypse Now, but this is a bit ridiculous.
It's a bit long. I think where the slow-mo really annoyed me was that opening sequence with the Flash.
Oh, God, yeah.
Because obviously you knew it was going to work. They're going to put slow-mo into this, but they were using it for just when he met that woman and... was leaving the pet store. I was like, why is this in slow-mo?
Before
why?
He was what? Going fast.
Yeah, before he was going fast. So that should have just been normal speed or even like everything.
Or like a few seconds of it, just where they the eye contact.
Yeah, or no, well, they were just staring at each other for so long. And it's like, this just needs to be really frenetic, you know? This really needs to just pick up some pace. So it's just a crazy day in the life of the Flash, you know? And then all of a sudden, he stops... and then this accident happens, and then he goes and saves her. But then they put a song over it, which feels like it was directed by Baz Luhrmann, and it took me right out.
Fundamentally piss myself when he saved the hot dog, though.
It was worth it for that.
The problem is because I rewatched watched for the first time some of the X-Men films with Quicksilver in them, and I don't like the films, but I do love the Quicksilver bits, and actually I do watch them quite a lot because they're good. Yeah. And it's sort of, they are better as much as I know you don't like the slow motion thing to show speed, Ollie, which I appreciate because it's used in bloody everything.
Yeah,
that is better where it's him moving normal speed doing, you know. And
yeah, I like that. Yeah, but
and
like...
The Flash is a funny character and they're like dressing up as, oh, it's so sad that he's saving the hot dog. Yeah.
I will say that my favourite scene in it was, spoilers, but at the end, he has to, in the final battle, he has to enter the Speed Force or like just reverse time enough so he can, and like the
reverse
world
time.
The world around him, like he's just stopped at the right moment, so everything around him is like disintegrating and being destroyed, but then as he's doing this weird sort of run, which I kind of liked. It was like he was actually...
I didn't like it where he was doing this.
It was like he was kind of swimming at the same time.
It didn't work for me. It didn't quite look right to me. Like it.
But it looks like more of a struggle for him to, you know... Like there's like this energy sort of going through him, you know? and he was powering through that, like he was going through jelly or something. I don't know.
I think yeah, it's just, it's literally the fact that his hands were doing like, this.
Yeah.
Like if he was sort of holding and he was still struggling, I'd like that.
Like if he was grabbing it or something, like yeah.
Yeah.
But as he's doing that, and the world is like coming back piece by piece around him as he's taking each step, that was really cool. That was,
yeah,
that was the best thing for me, and just that whole final, well, the action in general.
The final battle was so much better. Like it wasn't, you didn't have that moment of randomness where Superman just goes like, I can beat on Steppenwolf, and then like, huck, there's a single Russian family over there. Like, let's,
exactly. It was intense. Everyone had a part to play, and it didn't.
It did miss out my favourite scene from the Whedon version, though, which I understand doesn't fit with this version.
Yeah,
I'll just say that now. But I do like the bit where the Flash saves the family, and then Superman's carrying the entire tower block out.
Yeah,
it's just that moment of the Superman's better. But then at the same, like you say, the fact that they had to engineer a reason for Superman to leave because he's just better than Steppenwolf.
Yeah,
doesn't make any sense.
Well, it felt like every member of the team was necessary in the Snyder Cut. Like in the Whedon Cut, it just felt like, oh, we got Superman here, now everything's fine. Like, it just felt like a bit late.
Well, like in the Whedon Cut, where they all, I think Aquaman gets covered by something, and maybe so does Wonder Woman, and that like the Flash is like stuck somewhere, like the Robot Man is about to be hit. And then, like, Batman's gun just stops working.
Yeah.
But there's no reason for it. It just is like, oh, the gun stopped working now. And then Superman arrives. I remember that going. Did nobody think of a reason why Batman, like, could they not have surrounded him or something?
Yeah.
Could they not have, like, had a moment where he's like, shit, I'm what last man standing? But he's like, oh, the gun stopped. You know?
What did you guys think of all the new gods element, like the Steppenwolf, Darkseid, all that element that they
added? Genuinely, and I don't mean that it's bad or anything like that, I couldn't give less of a thunder and fuck.
Yeah, I
that whole bit I was like,
it didn't really make sense, because they had that flashback where he had been to Earth before. What did he want? He wanted some sort of anti-life equation.
The anti-life equation.
Is that what he kind of like hit the ground in that flashback,
and it all lit up,
and
like,
there was like this big rune thing. Is that what the equation was, Ollie? It didn't really make sense.
It's part of the anti-life equation. It's a symbol to say that.
Right, but how did he just forget? How did he just forget that it's on Earth, and like how did he get there?
Like,
and there's this big portal
that didn't make sense.
You know,
because it was like 4,000 years ago, and it was like, oh, which is the planet that defeated me and stuff like that, and then like it's sort of like
he
never came back to Earth because the Kryptonian was on Earth at the time, and when Superman died
only
that
for
was
about
4,000 years ago,
but not 4,000 years ago, he could have come back
only
before,
for the last like 30 years or however old
Clark
Kent's supposed to be now.
No, but I don't know, I think it's like a Krypton, the Green Lantern Corps would have I don't know what's going on with the Green Lantern. There's a whole sort of.
It doesn't make
reason.
Sense. You can. Admit
there is
that
a green. There is a Green Lantern there, isn't there, in the battle?
Yes.
He gets
killed, and the ring flies off to find a new person. Yeah. Of course.
And then fell into the possession of the creature Gollum. My precious.
Oh, one thing we should probably talk about: the 4x3. Ratio. How did we all feel about that?
I quite.
Oh, here, like, of course,
here
you
we go.
No, I'll tell you why. Because like, I think I don't know if you guys have seen the Corridor Crew, because like, I agreed with what Freddie Wong was saying on this.
Not yet. No, I've not watched
The 4x3 is a taller image, and it also harkens back to sort of comic panels, like comic book panels. And what I like about Snyder's imagery, nearly every shot is a pose, and it kind of fits with that sort of comic kinetic imagery, if you get what I mean. So and I felt with the 4x3 aspect ratio, I felt more,
because it's square.
I felt more focused on
Ollie.
What's going
this
on.
Is
Ollie.
A stretch.
Ollie, this is a really big stretch. Really big.
But like, that's what I thought. I liked it. I found it more absorbing to me. Like, I liked it.
Do you think it was more absorbent than, say, having it full screen?
Well, no, I just felt it made
and
them
there's
look...
no black
I wish
bars
they'd pan and
it made them look larger than life, like, if you get what I mean. Like, it with the wider screen, like, you know, sometimes it could feel a bit smaller.
Larger than life.
There's a bit more of a grandiose
widescreen.
Yeah, you can do it. Exactly. Look.
Do you really think having a bit more room on the top and bottom really gave you more of it? Inviting experience.
I don't think on your TV,
Ollie. This is.
I watch 4x3 films all the time on my TV. I watch 4x3 films all the time. Yeah, The Lighthouse.
What 4x3 films?
Loads of films are shot with 4x3 aspect ratio these days as well. Like, there's
okay.
A lot of the A24 independent films. All right.
Yes, but Ollie, they're shot 4x3. With the intention of it being in 4x3, this wasn't. This is just the raw image.
No, it's shot with the intention to be IMAX and built on a tall ass.
IMAX isn't 4x3.
No, it's not 4x3. And that wasn't necessarily.
And this wasn't going to be released in the IMAX. So why did he have to do it? Oh, shut up. No, it hasn't. No, it hasn't. The 4-hour cut
in the afterplay, in the survivor kingdoms that have emerged from this crisis, the New California Republic.
I'll tell you why this didn't work for me, because you got that bit of extra room, but there's just like so much headroom above everyone. So it wasn't. He says that, it's what I intended, but when you think about, no, that's just the raw image, and when it was being shot, it would have had the guidelines on the.
Mm.
On the camera, because the frame, the framing and the composition was all off, and it's just this negative space. I just didn't.
Oh, have you all got the timer at the top of the screen saying you've got 1 minute left?
Yeah, but I don't know what's going to happen.
Well, let's see. Let's fucking see where this goes. Yeah.
Into the abyss, lads.
What did I say this was called? This episode, I've already forgotten.
We've made choices.
Is this anything?
This is. Can I say this is going to be a motherfucker to edit?
Oh,
an hour and 8 minutes in, and we're in our fourth collapse.
Final Justice League thoughts. Flash looked a lot, worked a lot better in this film. I thought his jokes landed a lot better. The hat joke was great, wasn't it?
Flash.
Anyway,
I mean,
we enjoyed it. It's better than the original cut.
More. I will give it that.
But you don't have to go far to be better than the
original. It's still bloated. I would say if you're going to watch this, listeners, just stop it when Superman.
He cut out. For the benefit of the listeners, the video cut out.
Just stop it.
Exactly when he said stop it.
Oh, fuck me.
I was going to say, finish this film when Clark Kent rips his shirt open. To reveal his Superman costume underneath. That's the true end of the film. You don't need like the 19-20 minutes after that, because it just makes no sense, and they're not going to make more, I don't think, so it's a waste of your time. And obviously skip the slow-mo stuff if you can, just fast forward those bits. And If you kind of get what's going on in the first 2 hours, just sort of skip to when they meet everyone else in the tunnels. I don't know. Try and have a good time, or just take your time with it. Just chop it up, you know. Don't try and watch all 4 hours in one sitting, because it's not fun. There's good stuff in the film, but it's just, yeah.
The timing on that was bloody beautiful.
I just continued finishing my thought.
Okay,
you know, Alex. Yeah, so
I'll have to edit it in. I laughed because it cut off. You said stop, and it went.
Yeah,
yeah. It literally went like, just stop it, and it cut. Like, it was pretty.
Yeah.
God.
Right. Anyway, still recording. You finished that thought. Shall we leave that? Should we take that as a let's stop talking about Justice League?
I think that's a sign from the gods.
I think so. Yes.
I think that's a sign from the old gods.
And the new gods.
And the new gods. Right.
Well, the new gods is a cool comic, by the way. If you want to check out a comic recommendation, I'd check out Mr. Miracle as well, about the new gods and Darkseid and whatnot. And it got cancelled by frickin' Warner Brothers. which was because it was being directed by Ava DuVernay, and it's going to be a cool film, but oh well. Written by the comic writer as well, Tom King as well. Oh well. That's sad. Anyway.
We already really talked about the fact that we watched Man of Steel, but we didn't talk about the fact that we were simping over Henry Cavill.
Yes.
Throughout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you will, would you? You would, wouldn't you?
We will, yeah.
You would, wouldn't you? You would, wouldn't you?
He's a distressingly handsome man.
Yeah,
he is.
I've been watching, rewatching The Tudors.
Have you?
And he's in that, because I've been watching the later episodes of that, the sort of series three with Sarah Bolger in it, obviously. I don't know how old she is in it, though. I need to check that before making any comments. but Henry Cavill looks significantly older in series three of The Tudors than he does in Man of Steel.
That is
like, he looks in his sort of mid to late 30s, isn't it? Which is what he's supposed to look like, so it's obviously his makeup. But, yeah, just compared to how young he looks in Man of Steel, it's quite funny. A few things, funny things that happened in the Man of Steel viewing. Weird Battlestar cameos that we kept spotting.
Yeah, yeah.
That was funny. And then people from other... It was an odd experience. I look forward to the video.
Yes.
Do we have anything else we want to talk about?
Film-wise? Not film-wise.
No, good.
I don't think I watched it. Anything else?
Have we got things telly-wise to talk about?
No, I could talk about, hold on, the BAFTA might have just been finished. Who won Best Picture?
Oh, Christ, a BAFTA update.
This is an exclusive. I mean, when you listen to this, listeners, you might have known for a couple of weeks or so. So
yeah.
I don't know.
There's nothing exclusive about this.
No. You're just going to get Ollie's reaction.
Yeah, Daniel Kaluuya, obviously, that's something we knew. Fucking hell, where's the update? I need to know.
Anyway, I finished Snowpiercer series 2.
How was that?
It's a mess of a show.
Is it?
I do have a lot of time for it. Okay. I enjoy it. It's got a lot of good, I think it is carried a lot by its actors and its setting. The writing isn't all that. But I really enjoyed Jennifer Connelly in it. She's great. David Diggs is obviously, he's great. Sean Bean turned up for this series, and he's always fun.
Yeah.
He's
not dead then yet, no? He's still
in. No, he's not. No, he wasn't. He was just started off dead, came back.
Oh.
Oh.
Subvert your expectations. Yeah.
but it's all right. It's a weird one. It's visually very good. It's acted quite well. It's just one of those things where you go, I wish it had a bit more.
Mm.
I wish it had not better writers, but it's the writing, I feel like it deserves more. There's some characters that have come a long way in the last series. There's the character Ruth, which I've really taken to this series, who was she's the one in the first series who I think was there as a reference to Tilda Swinton, because she's like very northern. She's like, I don't think we act that way on Snowpiercer, do we? You know?
Yeah.
But her character's come a long way in this one, where she's sort of gone from one side to the other, and it's sort of, I won't say as to why. And there's a lot of side characters that have gotten more screen time, and also they've done a lot more world building, which has been fun. But yeah, a right old mess. The other series I've been watching is For All Mankind.
Of course.
Which I think I did a lot on last episode. I'm enjoying it still. I'm enjoying the alternate reality. They're doing real world events still.
Yeah.
A few episodes I was like, oh God, they're going to, because it's like they really build up a character and then they go, oh, we're going to launch on a space shuttle. I'm like, oh God, they're going to do a Challenger thing, aren't they? They haven't. The Challenger thing they have done, weirdly, is at the same time, they've made it so that the Russian space shuttle was launching at the same time as the American one was coming along at the same time. And they've done that by stealing tech from the Americans, and they've stolen the rockets that blew up on Challenger, the design for it. And like the American government are like, well, don't tell them. They'll find out the hard way. But like the people in NASA are like, yeah, but people are going to die. So there's like things about like them trying to tell the Russians without getting in trouble. That's like, if there's an issue on your rocket, and if you send it up, it will blow up and kill everybody on board the space shuttle. So it's a really weird sort of alternate reality. I've been enjoying that aspect of it.
Yeah.
A real world thing happened in it a couple of episodes ago, which is this. They've been building up a character again, like Snowpiercer, a character who was sort of dressed as sort of the bad guy, not a bad guy, but sort of like not a good guy in the first series. And actually, they built him up, and then they quite abruptly killed him off by him being on a jet. This is before we were born, but there was a jet, a Korean Airlines jet was shot down over the Soviet Union. It was a jumbo jet. It was shot down by a Soviet fighter, and he's on board that. And I was like, I watched it happen on the screen. I was like, now this is really ringing bells to me now. There's a period of time in the mid 80s when they were convinced nuclear war was going to happen because just everything horrible, loads of horrible shit happened. Mm. Like there's the Abel Archer, there's the thing about the I think I've told about this before, but where all of the Soviet radar picked up missiles coming in, and it was while there was an exercise going on in Germany, so there were American troops moving, yeah. Loads of missiles coming in, and they all got back to one guy who was supposed to say, we're going to respond, and he went, I don't think the Americans would attack. And there's a lot of people now say he basically saved everybody's life,
yeah.
Because a nuclear war would have started if this one guy hadn't gone, but it don't make sense. Stanislav Petrov is his name, because they made a documentary about him called "The Man Who Saved the World."
Wow.
And he was just like, well, it didn't make sense. Why would they attack? In fact, there's an online. I don't know if it's a role playing game. There's an online thing where it's called. I think it's called Doomsday 1983, and it's set now, but it's what would have happened if he wasn't on duty that day.
Oh.
So if someone else had taken over, and it's an interesting thing to read about. But yeah, that happened, not that aspect of it, but the Korean airline thing happened in For All Mankind. It's an interesting one because it deals quite. It feels a little bit incoherent as a series, but all of the actors are doing really well, and actually the emotions in it are great. And I won't. It's something really viscerally quite upsetting happened at the end of the last episode after sort of quite a happy-go-lucky episode.
Yeah.
But like the stuff mounting with the Russians, like I was saying to you, and there's they've put weapons on the moon, which NASA are just not happy about, but they get more funding from the DOD. So it's sort of like, it's the thing I wanted Space Force to do. The fact that it's a military thing, but there's the NASA thing and, you know, the level out, obviously, although funnier in Space Force. And there's an episode, in this one, a person gets shot in their spacesuit. I won't say who or what, but it's shot in their spacesuit and is on the ground, and they go over to him and they pull his visor up, the sun visor, and he's on fire in his suit. Like, it's on fire. Like, you know how James Franco died in Alien Covenant? Do you remember that?
Yeah, before they filmed.
He's in his tube, and then he gets torched in his tube, and it's horrible.
Oh, yeah.
It's like that.
I forgot he was in that for a second, but yeah. Yeah,
he's in the opening. But yeah, and just that moment, I was like, wow, this is dark. And then I won't say what, because I do people want to watch it, but there is a twist to the end of it where it isn't a military situation at all. It was a complete misunderstanding, and this person died the worst possible death for no reason at all. Mm. And then it's like, credits. And I think I messaged you too. I was like, I'm quite upset by what I've just seen. That was horrible. But well-written series. It's Ronald D. Moore off of Battlestar and DS9 fame and Outlander, but I've never seen that. I know people who have seen it, and they're all women. I think that's all I've really been watching recently.
Oh,
I've not been watching the Captain and the Winter Soldier, the Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
No,
you've not been watching that either, have you?
I have not.
Yeah. So anyway, anything else you've not been watching?
I've been watching a few TV shows.
Oh, that's good.
I've actually been catching up this past month with Line of Duty.
Oh, yes.
Oh, that's topical. Yes. Yeah. How's that?
It's honestly, yeah, I'm just so hooked onto it. It's BBC police crime drama. Or actually more of a thriller, I'd say, series.
I've genuinely never watched it. I watched a compilation of the one guy saying bent copper.
Oh. Yeah. I'll get to him.
There's only one thing I care about, and that's Bent Coppers.
Bent Coppers. It's his catchphrase now, but I love it. It's basically the series that has gone from strength to strength with each series. And whenever a new series starts, I'm always hearing people talk about it. It's like, oh, I haven't watched that.
Jed Mercurio, is that the writer?
Yes, he did. Yeah. He did The Bodyguards.
Oh, he did Bodyguards? I didn't know that.
Yeah. And a few other things that
I only know about it because he's mentioned a lot in the podcast I was listening to on Christmas.
Okay.
Yeah.
That guy's like a gold mine for the BBC, isn't he?
Yeah, basically. So it follows an anti-corruption unit called AC-12, with Vicky McClure. Martin.
The great Vicky McClure.
Very good. Vicky McClure as Kate Fleming. Then you have Martin Compston, Steve Arnott, who I only just found out yesterday that he's Scottish because he puts on like a Cockney sort of accent. And yeah, that just threw me a bit. He's really good. And then their gaffer is Adrian Dunbar. He plays Ted Hastings. And whenever you love this, Alex, because whenever he introduces himself to someone new, he's like, yes, like the battle.
The battle.
He's from Belfast as well. So yeah, he's the one who's always raging.
The bent
like,
coppers.
There's only one thing I do in this department, and one thing only, and that's finding bent coppers. I'm sorry, that's a terrible Belfast accent. But
yeah, Michelle from Derry Girls would be abusing you right
basically.
Now.
Yeah, they're just trying to uncover the bent coppers of an organised crime group that's embedded in the police department. And each series, there's like a different sort of like guest star that carries that series. Or like they're being investigators, really. So the first series, you had Lenny James, who I think he's gone on to be in The Walking Dead. And that was only like 5 episodes, but it was very gripping. That was really intense, quite dark. And then that led into season 2. They got to like 6 episodes starting from that series. And that's pretty much led by Keely Hawes. It's very good. Probably my favourite character in the whole series so far. She was just incredible to watch. Then series 3... you had Daniel Mays from Ashes to Ashes as well, and other things. Obviously, he's been in those other things. But
he gets around, doesn't he? He was in that Dad's Army clip we saw last night,
yeah,
wasn't he?
Yeah.
He's one of those actors that pops up in most British things, and you go, oh, it's that guy.
Yeah. He was in, I forgot the name of it, the show I'm always telling you about, Outcasts, the one series show that never got, where it's about a colony on another planet, and it's quite... It is worth watching, and it's the head of the colony is Sir Davos from Game of Thrones.
Okay.
Liam Cunningham. But he's in that. Oh, wow. Daniel Mays is very good in it as well.
And then we go into season 4. Well, actually, those first 3 series sort of act as a great trilogy. Like that. Because the last episode of series 3 is like 90 minutes long, and it sort of wraps pretty much everything. But then... Series 4 starts. You got Tandy Newton is the guest star of Series 4. That was more of a slow burn, but it really picked up towards the end. And she was great in it. Series 5 then had Stephen Graham from This Is England as well. You know, the Scouse guy.
Yeah, yeah.
He's really good.
There's a lot of Scorsese films.
Well, one.
Well, two.
Two?
Yeah.
I always thought he was from Nottingham, you know, because he's in a lot of stuff filmed around here, but it's just because of This Is England.
Yeah.
That's why. Shane Meadows is from around here, and I just associated it. Yeah.
Yeah, that one, like the twists and turns in his series was just insane.
Who else was it? This is weird. This links back to Snowpiercer. So you remember when I watched Alex Rider?
Yeah.
And Vicky McClure's accent bothered me throughout. Yeah. And I couldn't figure out why. Because it's my accent.
Oh.
That's what it was. There's a guy who I've, for the whole time in Snowpiercer, gone, this is an American putting on an accent. This is an American putting on an accent, and it's a shit English accent. I hate it. He's from fucking Nottingham.
Amazing.
The whole time. I saw it, I was like...
Wow.
Because the Vicky McClure one really bothered me. So I was like, why is Vicky McClure bothering me? I know she's a great actor. Why is this... And it's only because I watched the interview, and she was like, yeah, I just thought I'd do my Nottingham one. I was like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now,
anyway, sorry, that's the link.
And now we're in series 6, and that's led series by Kelly McDonald, and she's from Trainspotting, and
oh yes,
and when we watched Truth Seekers, she showed up in that.
Yes, she did, didn't she? In the that cheered behind me up. I'm still thrown off by that.
Yeah,
by the fact because she's hiding behind the. What's it? It's a vending machine that gets to a secret base in the old. They call it the Happy Eater, but it's a little chef. But it's an abandoned little ship. It still doesn't make sense to me that she's hiding. I don't know.
Yeah.
But she was good in it.
She was great. She's good in this. I'm enjoying it. So it's about almost halfway through this series.
Is she in Potter as well?
I think. I don't know if it's going to wrap things, like the whole thing up, because this is like 7 episodes as opposed to 6. I don't know what's going to happen, but it's very intriguing every week. It's good stuff. And the three main actors that I told you about, Vicky McClure, Martin Compston, Adrian Dunbar, they have great arcs in every series, and it's always continuing. And because they're quite flawed characters themselves, but they're also trying to find these, I keep saying it, bent coppers.
Bent coppers.
And there's just loads. It's mainly, I mean, there's some action stuff in there, but it's mainly made up from interrogation scenes, and it's just so intense and just really well written. And I'll quickly, just to wrap it up, I'll just quickly say, because it still amazes me when I say this goes from strength to strength, this is viewing figures on BBC. I think it's on.
It's carrying.
Yeah. The first two seasons were both averaging 3 million viewers each episode. Then series three, it went up to 5 million.
5 million
per episode. Series four comes in. I think that there was like a big gap between those two. Because, like I said, series three, that sort of almost wrapped the whole thing up, but carried on. Series four, then an average of 9.5 million per episode. And then series five, that came out, I think, 2 years ago, that was 12.85
million. 12.85
million.
That's kind of unprecedented British viewing figures.
There are 8 million people in London.
Yes.
And that's what you need to take from that. In Wales, there's like 6 million in Wales.
You don't even get those numbers on Christmas Day anymore.
No, you don't.
That's
remarkable. It is. That is literally, I joked before, that is carrying BBC.
Oh, yeah.
Considering the drought of talent they've had leaving because of bullshit decisions at the top.
Yeah.
And like lack of support and things like that. That is, they're going to be grasping Jed Mercurio.
Yeah.
You're fucking going anywhere.
Yeah.
He's going to be in a box underneath Broadcasting House. Yeah. And they're going to put food in for him.
Exactly.
I think they have to share him with Netflix. Amazing. I think he got a deal there, but like I think they have to share him. It's like a...
I don't think they're actually putting him in a box.
No.
I think the BBC at some point in there, because they've alienated everybody.
Yeah.
Intentionally. You can tell that it's a concerted effort to get rid of the BBC, and that's very sad.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where I think, what else have they got that brings that number?
I literally can't think.
Like, the only thing I remember reading a thing about was it Price is Right? It was something Bruce Forsyth.
Are you going to do his pose then?
I was going to do the
yeah the Brucey pose.
He did it. I can't remember if it was Price is Right or Generation. It was something. He was doing something, and there was I think he was on the BBC, and then it was ITV that was on strike.
Yes.
Or it might have been the other way around. Something happened where nothing was on the other channel, and he got the kind of viewership that you see in like European countries.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that's how big his viewership was, because there was only 4 channels, and they went, "Oh, we'll see what Bruce is doing." And then I think it was the Generation Kid, because it ended up being they basically went, "Right, well, this is," because then it carried a lot of the viewership over because people enjoyed it. And it was just because of that one time. And you think, I'll tell you what it was. It was Richard Osman saying about it. Because Richard Osman was like, he feels like he wanted to be a... Because he obviously makes quiz shows. And he was like, I wish I was doing it 30 years before I was. Because the amount of money I'd make off it is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Did The Price is Right come over here from America? Or did it start here and go over to America?
I'm not entirely sure.
I feel like it was an American show.
It might have come, yeah. I know it's big in both, but obviously we don't really have it anymore.
I think that was filmed at Central, you know, the one in Nottingham.
Was it?
All the stuff that used to be filmed up here. And it's like evaporated sort of like towards the end of the 90s. So it's within my lifetime, it's all gone. Because I went there on a school trip to Central Studios. Wow. For a kids quiz show called... Right, the Bond game was called Everything or Nothing, wasn't it?
Yes.
The quiz was called
All or Nothing. All or Nothing, yeah. Vaguely remember that, yeah.
It was shit. but I was in the audience for one of those ones.
Wow.
That was my first taste of television. Right.
Wow.
So that's telly. That's some good telly.
Line of Duty. Give it a shout. Give it a try.
It's definitely something that I will. It's one of those things where I've got to it after it's been it's been popular, clearly, but after it's started. That being said, there's like six episodes a series, isn't there?
Like I said, I got through it quite quickly. just doing like one episode a night, maybe even two, because sometimes they do end on a cliffhanger, and you just want to know what happens next. Like, oh my god. But yeah, it's all on iPlayer, so I would say definitely seek it out because
it's really good stuff.
I did like Bodyguard as much as people sort of turned against it towards the end.
Yeah,
I did enjoy Bodyguard. Yeah. I watched it when I was on.
I couldn't finish it.
It was 3 years ago this week when I was doing work experience at
Envy.
2 years ago this week when I was doing work experience at Envy.
Wow!
I came down for the week and I watched Bodyguard in my evenings.
Fair enough.
On my little Kindle tablet. Yeah.
Good.
Cracking.
Yeah.
Anything else we can cover on this shit show?
A lot of TV I've been watching. I've got four shows currently on the go. So I've got Battle Blah, which actually the last few episodes of season two aside, I quite enjoyed season two overall.
I will say, as much as it pains me to say it, we did promise we weren't going to talk about
that's true.
Battlestar Galactica.
You did say last time. Yeah, if you listened back to the podcast, you would remember all this.
Yeah, all right. Next. I'm watching Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which is very good. I won't go too deep into that. I'll wait until that's finished.
There's so much buzz about it.
He wants to go deep in the Winter Soldier.
Yeah. Barry, which is a really good show I've been watching, starring Bill Hader.
I really want to see this. It's been years, but
it's about
I really want to watch it.
Yeah, I've been watching it. I've just finished the first season. It's about a hitman that discovers an acting class and joins an acting class and wants to become an actor and get out of being a hitman. Stars Bill Hader. It's funny and dramatic. It's a comedy drama. It's really well done. Bill Hader's really fantastic in it. Henry Winkler is also great in it. He plays the acting school teacher. It's a really good watch. Highly recommended. The action scenes are really good and the comedy works.
What is it on?
It's on Now TV.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would need to get a TV pass if I was to watch it.
Yes, you would. And the other thing I've been watching, which I highly recommend, is the Amazon Prime series Invincible. It's based on the Robert Kirkman comic series. And I don't want to spoil it too much, but basically, I'll just go into the basic premise.
You already have.
It's like...
You said the C word.
What?
Sorry, don't worry about it. The joke's gone.
Oh, right. It's sort of an amalgam of different superhero universes. Obviously, a lot of inspiration taken from the main one. So there's a Justice League in this world, and they call them the Guardians of the Globe. They have their own version of Superman, who's called Omni-Man. Omni-Man comes from this planet called Viltrumite, and basically he lands on Earth and he... Viltrumite. And he raises a family and he has a son called... played by Stephen Yang. He starts off Mark Grayson not having any powers in the episode. He develops powers in the episode, in the first episode, and it's about him trying to learn and develop and becoming a superhero called Invincible. And it's a really off the wall show. I don't want to go too much into it, but the ending of the first episode is a hook and line and sinker. I'll say that it really goes like what the show is.
Beg pardon.
Yeah, did you just say hooker, liner, and sinker?
Yeah, it means it gets
you mean it. Hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah.
Not hooker, liner, and sinker. Hook, line, and sinker. That's what you meant.
Yes, that's what I meant.
Yeah?
Yes, that's what I meant. Okay. Anyway, it's cool. Anyway, it's because
why isn't it
it's
zooming?
Got cool animation. I think it it's violent and gory a bit in places. It's got sort of reminders of like what a Saturday morning cartoon is. I don't know. I just it's quirky. It's unique. It's very good. I highly recommend Invincible.
Is it basically The Boys but animators?
Not necessarily. No,
because it sounds it from what you've just told.
It's got a similar tone to The Boys, but it's not the
like
same.
They got their own version of the Justice League and Superman.
Yeah, but it's not
it's
like
violent.
Yeah, it's got a similar tone to The Boys, but it's nothing like The Boys in that regard. It's not like about the corporation side of superheroes or anything like that. It's nothing like The Boys in that regard, or it's not about like people taking revenge on superheroes. It's about the superhero community in this world. I can't go into the premise without spoiling the ending of the first episode, because the first episode has a real shocking ending, which is really
it's
good.
Something to, like you just said, I'm not going to repeat it, but yeah, it just brings you into it, gets you invested.
Yeah,
is that what you're going to say? Yeah, it gets you invested into the show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's okay, and it's great. Really well done. J.K. Simmons is really good in it, and Sandra Oh. They do the voice cast is amazing. Mahershala Ali plays a character in it as well. He's great. Stephen Young's great. Gillian Jacobs as well. She's in it.
Wasn't Mahershala Ali? He was the uncle in Spider-Verse, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was worried then. There was a silence. I was like, did I get that wrong?
And Jason Mantzoukas, who appears in pretty much anything that's an adult animated series basically these days. I feel like if you got a comedy, Jason Mantzoukas will appear eventually in it.
I wonder if he's in Lower Decks. Let's check.
Like I would imagine that Jason Mantzoukas will be in Lower Decks. It's the sort of thing he would appear in.
Fair enough.
If it's a half-hour comedy, Jason Mantzoukas will show up.
I forgot Tawny Newsome. Tawny Newsome's great. She's in Lower Decks. So you can carry on.
No. I've pretty much finished on Invincible, so that's a recommendation from me.
I really wanted him to show up. I really wanted to spot him, but he's not. There's not that big a voice cast to Lower Decks, to be fair. So he probably will show up.
Nah. But yeah, if you look at Jason Mantzoukas' IMDb, he's like that guy of voice acting at the moment, like called comedy sitcoms at the moment. Like, just seems to show up in everything.
Oh, I'm glad they're making series two of it.
Yeah, they are.
Sorry, I'm reading about Lower Decks now.
Video game wise, I've been playing through Mortal Kombat at the moment.
Cause... Excuse me a moment. Video games. Bah. Burn it, burn it. Okay, carry on. Okay.
I've been playing through Mortal Kombat in replaying Mortal Kombat in anticipation for the upcoming film, and yeah, it's just as fun as I remember. Like, I love Mortal Kombat. It's just like I grew up with fighting games, as you know. Like, I know you guys aren't keen on fighting games, but like, I'm crap with combos, but like, I just enjoy button mashing and like it's violence and.
I don't find
you just like. Going like a monkey.
Yeah, I don't find button smashing a good pastime. So
I'll tell you what I've been playing in a minute, but I think my food is early. It should not be here yet. It said it was going to be here by.
Okay.
How far are we into this podcast? We've got.
Yeah. So we're actually, you know what? We're nowhere near as far through as I thought we were. We've only just gone past hour and a half. We were like on 2 hours.
We've got another 10-minute countdown on Zoom as well. That's just started.
Oh, for God's sake.
Oh, God.
So maybe.
All right. I will quickly start. I'll say what I've been playing. I've been playing on Ace Combat 7, which I started playing ages ago and then uninstalled because it's massive. I quite like the Ace Combat games, despite being a weird sort of pacifist type. That's not true at all. But an anti-militarist sort of type, because it bothers me at the beginning. It shows you how they've had to pay for the rights to use all the planes by paying all these weapons manufacturers. But I'm an aviation nerd, so I love it. If you've never played Ace Combat, it's basically Star Wars, but with modern jets. Like, it's set in a real called a Strange Real. It's clearly a Japanese game. Strange Real, which is another planet that is like Earth, but isn't Earth. and has a bunch of made up countries going to war with each other, so that's how they get away with it. But yeah, it's sort of set in modern day. Is that Strangerville was hit by a comet in like 1995 or something, when the first game is made, and it's basically the aftermath of that, all these countries going to war. But in every one of them, like this one I've just done, there's a bit where you have to fly through an underground tunnel to get to something in like a modern military jet. So you're going, fucking hell, what is it? Going from side to side. But it's a lot of fun. It's daft and it's badly acted, but they've always been like that. But I've just been having fun in it, mucking about pretending you're in like Top Gun, but like good.
Yeah.
But like there's a mission that is, that I say, the one where you go through the tunnel, it's like that episode of The Thing we're not supposed to talk about, with the fuel refinery, where you go down that and you sort of go, whoa, Jesus, and you get through there and you fire the missile. And you feel like Wedge Antilles is at the other end. You're like, yes. And you find a plane that you like, and it's not as good as the planes you get later on, but you stick with it because you've got your little colours on it and everything. It's a Typhoon for me. One of these with a big, it's got three strikes across the back of it. But yeah, I've been playing that. A downside of it, I've noticed at the end of every mission, because it's like half an hour long every mission, and as you get to the end of the timer, you start worrying. I was clenching my teeth a lot. I get to the other end and my jaw would be hurting. I'd be like, I've got to stop doing that.
Yeah.
So I've finished it. Hopefully my jaw will, that my door just went. I'll be back.
He'll be back. You okay, Ollie?
Yeah, fine. Yeah. Tired.
Just tired, yeah. Long day.
Long day. Long walking.
Long podcast.
Long podcast. Going into nights this week, so that'd be interesting.
Oh, what? When do you start?
Tomorrow night.
Oh yeah, what time?
9
from
o'clock.
What till what?
Nine till six in the morning.
Damn.
Mm.
So you're going to try and stay up as much as you can tonight.
Is that I generally stay up till 3 a.m. So.
Yeah. Okay.
And then we see where we go. I might watch that Palm Springs. That looks good.
Oh, yeah, I've heard good things about that.
I've heard good things. Sorry, we were just chatting, mate. Alex.
Just discussing.
We weren't really filling podcast material.
Just going to cut out in 6 minutes. Do you want to do some really quick recommendations, or should we go and come back and do quick recommendations?
I think we
can do it in 6 minutes.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Do it then. Go on, you first, Ollie.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
You got 2 minutes. You got 2 minutes. Oh, I think we can do it in 6 minutes. Mason, have you got,
yes,
you got
I've
two
got,
minutes?
I've got one. So this week, as time of recording, this week we tragically lost the actor Paul Ritter.
Yes.
Which was very sad.
Yes,
he was 54.
And is.
And I've spoken on a podcast last year when the last series came out. I'm recommending Friday Night Dinner. But from this news this week, it's just put it into perspective, like how good this series was.
Yeah.
And how good he was in it. Like, it was just the perfect storm of actors. You had Paul Ritter, you had Tamsin Gregg, Simon Bird.
She's so fantastic. Yeah, they're all
Tom
great.
Rosenthal, Mark Heap. It's literally just, yeah, made me realise it's probably the best British sitcom of recent memory. Probably since Peep mm-hmm. Show. Because I really just don't know what else is out there anymore.
Yeah.
It's really just sort of died off. Like, no one's really trying anymore with British sitcoms.
I think we're in a lot. I think it'll come back. I think it's because we're in
maybe.
That, like I said, the gap between this world of television
yeah.
and the next one.
Maybe.
Like, it's not quite.
But yeah, it's just been great. It's another thing is because whenever a new series would be out, it's definitely something that I would seek out and put on every night that it comes out. There's not many shows like that that I do that with anymore. So for that to happen, and Paul Ritter is basically about a middle class Jewish family in, I think they were set in like northern London. I think it was.
Yeah, it looks exactly like it, the area we're in. Like, it looks like Barnet.
I think they filmed in Mill Hill.
Yeah, it looks like Mill Hill.
It does
yeah.
look. So it's just, the two sons of this family just come over to their parents' house every Friday night for dinner, just to catch up, and crazy shenanigans happen, of course, every time. Including Mark Keep as the neighbor, just is just so bizarre, and it gets crazier every series. But yeah, well, I can't fault it, and I've been watching clips all week. Just to, like, it always puts me in a good mood. Yeah, just watch it. It's cool. Just good stuff. Friday night.
Ollie, have you got anything that you can do 2 minutes on?
Yeah, I recommend the film Bad Education, which is a very good film with Hugh Jackman and Alice Janney. About two...
Not the Jack Whitehall one. Okay, good.
It's about two school board members that fiddle the sort of financial systems of the school district. And it's all about the sort of ins and outs of how they got caught out and whatnot. It's basically on a true story. Hugh Jackman is really, really, really good in it. He uses his charisma well, so you believe he's a likable presence that would be able to get away with something like this for so long. And then obviously events happen when one of the school newspaper journalists sort of starts asking a few too many questions. It's a good film. I highly recommend. So that's Bad Education. You can find that on Sky Cinema now.
Wow. That was quick for you, Ollie.
That was, wasn't it?
That was very good. Very good.
Quick for you. So quick that I've forgotten what I was going to... Right, okay, cool. There we go. I'd like to recommend the podcast The Wheel of Misfortune, which is hosted by Alison Spittle and Fern Brady. It's on BBC Sounds, although I listen to it on Spotify. It's a lot of fun. It's Fern Brady is a great comic. I've been following her for a few years. I think she's fantastic. And I'd love to go and see her live when we can. But it's a podcast. They talk. It's the way that they phrase it is talking about. I can't remember the exact phrase, but they talk about horrible things that you like to talk about. So like every week, they're like bad dates, and they get people to send in voice notes about their stories, and like some, it degrades into absolute filth quite regularly. Yeah. But it's very funny. They're both very funny. They both got ridiculous stories, and then they get a guest on every week to talk about it. I can't remember who was on last week, but a few weeks ago they had one about drinking, and they had Siobhan McSweeney, who plays I can't remember the character's name, but the nun in Derry Girls. You know who I'm talking about. And she's just magnificent. It's very funny. It's a female-led podcast, which there's, you know, I'm out there. There are lots of, but there's definitely more led by white guys. Hey, lads.
Sorry.
Sorry, we are polluting the market even further. But yeah, Wheel of Misfortune. Give it a listen. It's very funny.
Good.
And there's a lot of familiar faces you'll hear on it.
Yeah.
We're on the less than 1 minute bit, so shall we just wrap up and say our goodbyes?
Yes.
So, sayonara.
Good luck with this horrible shit show.
Bye-bye.
We're nearly out of it now.
Stay safe.
Why would you say that, Ollie? Don't waste 4 hours of your life on the Justice League, unless you want to. In which case, waste 4 hours of your life on the Justice League. I'm not your dad.
Do what you want.
Play on Ace Combat. Don't play on Ace Combat. You don't have to listen to anything we say.
Do people actually listen to anything we say?
Well, you certainly fucking don't. Right. That's us away, yeah. I think.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Toodle Pipsky. We made poor choices. Right, shall we just hang up and just to take the power away from it?
Yeah, take the power away from it.
Yeah, we are. Are we not men? Thank you.